folks, and welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I'm your host, Maggie Hart. Very excited to be here another week with my cup of coffee on my big comfy couch, having a discussion with you just like we would in our living room. How are all my little cannolis this week? Are you all being the cannoli still? Are you being soft and sweet on the inside with a little bit of a tough shell on the outside? We need to develop a thick skin nowadays because of all the attacks that we're all under due to the fact that we have the audacity to want to see what's best for not only our country, but for ourselves, our livelihoods, our mental states, our emotional well-beings. We want to protect our families. We want to have fun. We want to not run ourselves into the ground by working our lives away and have nothing to show for it. And the liberals are going absolutely crazy because, and specifically the political Democrats are just losing their mind this week because Elon Musk has been digging in the back door and he's come up with a lot of spending that's pretty... I don't want to use the word humorous because it's really not humorous, but very, very gross overspending, wasting of our tax dollars. And as this starts to hit the public eyes, the liberals don't know what to do. The Democrats don't know what to do. So they revert back to their old playbook. They do what they've always done. They try and detract and distract and cause strife so that our attention is directed away from the actual matter at hand. But also, they're trying to get the brainless population behind them to revolt, actually inciting them to riot. This is something that the other side has taken flack for since January 6th. And yet now it's okay for people like Chuck Schumer and these other ridiculous individuals to try and incite the masses. Let me be clear. Trump didn't incite anything. He told everybody to go home in his defense. But listen to this clip. And keep in mind that the Democrats are using all of the agendas and all of the weird stuff that Trump has with a swift mark of his pen alleviated and gotten rid of. The LGBTQ stuff, there's only one male and one female now, two sexes, the men in sports, all of that. And so you have the liberals who have been running amok for 4 years now losing their minds because they can't go out and go to the bathroom in a litter box or do all of the weird stuff that they've been allowed to do and be praised for acting like the mentally ill that they are. But you have the political people who want to detract from all of the spending, the ludicrous spending that's been going on. And so they're using all of these different tactics to get these crazies behind them. It's laughable. And here we go. Just like I predicted, you know, we have the highs, we have the lows for this year. We have those skirmishes and we have those pockets of people inciting violence, trying to incite riots, striking back at people from different political parties because they're angry that they can't get their way anymore. They're upset that Trump is sending back criminals to the countries that they belong in. It's just... Here, listen.
Republican colleagues, if you do not see the light. We will bring the fire. Resist!
We are going to be in your face. We are going to be on your asses.
We have days to stop the destruction of our democracy. We have work to do.
Tell Elon Musk to take his hands off your money.
We don't pledge allegiance to the creepy 22-year-olds working for Elon Musk. We pledge allegiance to the United States of America.
And goddammit, shut down the city! We are at war!
We will win. We will win. We won't rest.
Democrats need a real leader.
Okay, so at the end there of that clip, you had the CNN broadcasters talking about the fact that the Democrats need a leader. That is absolutely the case. The unfortunate truth for them is they have nobody. They got nobody. Since they had Obama, who was their power figure, all's been lost. They had Biden, which we all know that Biden played the part of the delusional old guy, and then the Kamala Harris, that was absolutely laughable as an attempt. And what I've come to discover is that the Biden and Harris administrations were at war with each other internally for a long time. The people that worked for Harris and the people that worked for Biden despised each other. I would encourage everybody to listen to a very informative interview that I watched from Sean Ryan entitled Lindy Lee, Obama's Third Term, Kamala Paying Beyonce, Cardi B, and Oprah. It's episode number 167. You can find it on YouTube. Lindy Lee, for those of you who may be unaware of who she is, used to work for Biden, and she was close with the Biden family. She gives out so much inside information in this interview that not much surprised me, to be honest, but she did take me aback a couple of times with some of the things that she came out and admitted. And I've got to respect the woman, because there's one part of the interview where she says that she hopes that her parents are not listening, and pretty much alludes to the fact that because of the stress that she's been put under from coming out of the Democratic side of the spectrum, and she's actually joined the Trump team, and she's one of their fundraisers, I think, now, one of the campaign people to get money for, or was getting money for, his candidacy. Because of the backlash that she's suffered, she has a lot of issues and is struggling mentally. And she doesn't come out and say it, but she kind of alludes, at least the way that I got it, was that she kind of alludes to the fact that she was very, very depressed and possibly even suicidal. I'd like for you to listen to it and see what you think. But the bottom line is, she definitely dishes out a lot of dirt that a lot of people maybe had speculated on before, but were afraid to say. And she's very careful to say that she will only speak truthfully on what she's personally witnessed or knows to be true. So again, I have to respect her for that. She does, she's a straight shooter. She does a great job, I think. of putting her truth out there, but you can definitely see during certain points of the interview where she is emotionally distressed at the fact that she's outing certain things. And she gives credit to Sean Ryan for being such a good interviewer, but knowing people the way that I do and the feelings that I get is she's wanted to tell her truth for a really long time. This was the platform to do it. She trusts him as an interviewer, and I feel that she really doesn't think that she's got any more left to lose because she's lost virtually all of her friends, all of her professional contacts on that side of the spectrum. Now, she does come out and say, however, that since she's joined the Trump side, that she's been treated much better and with much more respect. And I'm not surprised to hear that because liberals, they're just, and I hate to generalize, but in the political spectrum are just, they're very toxic people. Not to say that politicians on the other side are as pure as the driven snow, because we all know that that's not the case. What I'm seeing is she's exposing the dark underbelly of a lot of politics that most people don't normally get to see or are privy to. And I think that she's telling the truth. I think that she's being very forthright, and it's very brave what she did, and I give her a lot of credit. But listen to that, and you will see the hypocrisy and the lies, not only from the Democratic side and the people in power politically on the Democratic side. She comes right out and says that they pretty much propped up Biden because he was the only worthwhile candidate or person that they had, because they virtually all knew that Kamala was not going to be strong enough and wasn't a good enough opponent to beat anybody else, most especially Trump. And they do literally prop him up. You'll have to listen to the interview between the teleprompters and the drugs that he may have been given to help him perform better, Jill running the show behind the scenes, Hunter's annex. There's a lot of stuff that she discloses in that interview. It's definitely a worthwhile listen. We had the exposing of USAID and their wasteful spending this past week. I spoke about it on an interview that I did this past week. Carolyn Leavitt came out and said $1.5 million went to promote DEIs in Serbia's workplaces, $70,000 for a DEI musical production in Ireland, $47,000 for a transgender opera in Colombia, $32,000 for a transgender comic book in Peru, and more to come. So Elon Musk is getting absolutely crucified by the press. And not only the press. That little clip that I played for you earlier was indirectly related to Elon. They want him to get his fingers out of their proverbial pie and not to let the American people know what kind of just totally insane spending has gone on. A lot of it so far seems to be for this DEI agenda. But we also have Bill Gates, who's jumped on the bandwagon. He spoke on The View. And as an aside, I don't know if anybody's heard this, but The View attacked Carolyn Leavitt, and she came out in full force against them and spoke directly to each of the people that slandered her. And there are whispers that The View is in trouble now, that a lot of the people that previously sponsored their program are backing out because they don't want to get into the middle of a war. And also the producers are questioning, possibly, whether or not they've finally spoken the straw that's broke the camel's back. So we'll have to watch for that. Wouldn't it be amazing if Caroline Leavitt single-handedly took down The View? I would like nothing more than to see that show permanently canceled. But let's focus on Elon here for a few minutes. Listen to Bill Gates.
Here's Bill Gates. Go for it.
And you, Mr. Gates, you also called Elon Musk's political influence abroad, quote, insane, along with another word we can't repeat here. But what's your take on his political access and influence here in America right now?
Well, Elon, his private sector work, you know, has been very innovative, really fantastic. A lot of private sector people, when they get into government, they don't take the time necessarily to see what the good work is or why it's structured the way it is. So I'm a little worried, particularly with this USAID stuff. My foundation partners with USAID on nutrition and getting vaccines out. And, you know, there's incredible people. You know, they're not actually worms that work there. So, you know, hopefully we'll get some of that work back in shape. In fact, if we don't, you know, you could have literally millions of deaths. So, you know, with aid, people think, you know, wow, how much do we give these countries? As you said, it's less than a percent. People think it's 5% and it should be 2%, but it's actually under 1%.
Wow, and still saving lives.
Well, am I the only one that doesn't trust anything that comes out of his mouth? Is it just me?
That clip was courtesy of the PBD podcast, and that was one of the co-hosts that made their statement there at the end. That pretty much sums it up for me. I can't even look at the guy and not get irritated. His facial expressions, the deception that clearly shines through to me every time I look at him. Hillary Clinton is another one. Obama's another. But there are certain people that I look at and simply listening to their voice irritates me and incites me because I can feel the deception and the evil just seeping through these people's pores. I don't see how anybody could not be in agreement with the fact that Bill Gates needs to be at the very least brought up for crimes against humanity and treason, all of that. How could anyone even take a word that this guy says seriously? But there again, he is on The View. So as I said earlier, I'd like nothing more than to see that show canceled. I hope it goes away. They don't have any cannolis that listen to their show. They don't have any Struffoli. Wouldn't you rather sit here and talk with me for an hour? You know you would. And also all of the other quality shows that we have here for your listening enjoyment on our network. Just Fed Up on Instagram said it perfectly. Trump is moving so fast that liberals can't keep up with what they're protesting. They went from abortion to Elon to trans to Elon to immigration to Elon, two planes, to USAID, to Elon, to Gaza, and you guessed it, Elon. But before we go there, I just want to do a really quick Tom Homan clip. I think the guy's amazing. The man certainly has his work cut out for him, and your fellow Americans are making his job even more difficult by helping immigrants out. Most notably, criminal immigrants that Tom Homan and ICE are working to get out of the country. U.S. citizens, people that you might know, are aiding criminals from other countries and informing them that ICE may be coming so that they can hide. What does that say for the well-being of your children of your wife, of your girlfriend, or even yourself that could very possibly be victimized by one of these insane gang members or hardened criminals or plain old perverts. I have to give this man a lot of credit. He is up against so much, and I believe that he has the stamina and the willpower and just the downright determination to carry out his job succinctly and to the best of his abilities. And my prayers go with this man every single day.
Let's take it.
Have so many questions. First of all, if they're shouting and helping these people get away with bullhorns, how is that legal to get help from the people in the streets? I know they can protest, but that's not what they're doing.
You're exactly right. When they come to the cross line of impediment, and that's why I'm working very close starting this morning with Department of Justice, and where do they cross that line of impediment? So they may find themselves in a pair of handcuffs very soon. So working with DOJ on that, get some legal guidance on that. I'm not an attorney. I know what SecOps is about. I know what crossing that line is, but getting DOJ back up on that. So it's something we're looking at right now, Harris. We're not going to tolerate it anymore. This is not a game. When we show up these sites, this is a dangerous job for the men and women of ICE and Border Patrol and all the DOJ agencies. To have that type of interference puts our officers at great risk. Not only the officers. It puts the aliens at great risk because anything can happen when we take our eyes off the goal here. So we're addressing it immediately today. I'm addressing OPSECs today, Operation Security, how these leaks are happening. We've already identified how this operation got leaked. I'll deal with that today.
That clip was courtesy of Snowflake Tears. Originally, I think it was on Fox News. Somebody leaked ICE's plan to the Trendy Aragua gang before their operations in Aurora, Colorado. Can you believe that? We have citizens of our country tipping off violent gang members so that they can avoid ICE. That is so disgusting to me. Those people, once he finds out who they are, need to be brought up on full charges and face the consequences for what they're doing. It's gotta be that they are involved somehow in these drug operations themselves, or they're getting the drugs from these people, or firearms, or whatever it may be. But it can't just be that our citizens are protecting violent gang members simply because they're illegal aliens, right? There's gotta be a reason for that. They've gotta have something to gain for it. So they're dirty, they need to be brought down as well. And even if they're not, and they're innocent, and they think that these guys are lily white choir boys, they still need to be brought down for what they're doing. On a funny note, I thought I was the first one to come up with the Ice Ice Baby clip. And I was pretty proud of myself. It came to me while I was sitting here thinking about ICE, and I just thought it was hysterical, thought I'd play the clip. And then this week I found two more videos. One where a lady was driving down a highway past protesters and was blaring Ice Ice Baby and singing it as she drove past. And then another video had an Ice Ice Baby in their clip as well. So I'm going to say they're following me because I truly didn't see it anywhere else. It just came to me and I thought it was cool. But I'm glad, actually, because that means that just as I've been telling you before, we are a hive mindset and everybody's kind of getting on the same vibe. And as long as it's the right vibe, the positive vibe, I'm really good with that. Read my mind. What am I thinking now? I'll give you a little hint.
From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention?
Maybe you guessed it. It's time for Muskomania. We're going to talk about Elon for a few minutes. This is an older clip that he did talking about why he acquired X.
Choose your question carefully. There's 5 minutes left.
Okay, but so
is the same question you want to ask.
Same question is you said that they are killing the company, but you're the head of the company. The buck doesn't stop with you.
I acquired X in order to preserve freedom of speech in America, the First Amendment. And I'm going to stick to that. And if that means making less money, so be it.
In contrast, here's a clip from Kamala's vice presidential candidate, Tim Walz. This was posted back in August.
I think we need to push back on this. There's no guarantee to free speech on misinformation or hate speech, and especially around our democracy.
So government would get to determine what truth was and punish people for free speech. Apparently, Tim Walz can't still mind his own business and posted on, I assume it's from Twitter, "The richest man in the world is sitting at the Resolute desk about to defund your public school." And Elon Musk wrote back, "What's your name again? I forget."
Floating like the heavens above, looks like muskrat love.
Older clips of Elon are starting to flow around the net too. And I've not made it a secret that I have extreme reservations surrounding some of Elon's work. Transhumanism, the AI factor, the chips in the brain, Starlink. I've also expressed my concern over the fact that his mom is a Satanist or was a Satanist, and his girlfriend that he has the child with that's got the really weird name, that she was also into very dark witchcraft. There are rumors now surfacing that he and Anderson Cooper were indoctrinated into the same satanic cult as a child. There is a lot that we don't know about this man. And I've also made it known that Tesla was not his brainchild. And the company that he has now, I don't think he totally developed either. But as far as what he's doing for the economy for the United States, I think he's to be commended. I also expressed that when he did his pre-presidential interview with Trump, he was very respectful and charismatic, and that I gained more of a knowledge and respect of him simply because of the way that he conducted himself. In the interview, he scored some points with me, but we still need to have discernment and be careful and look at the big picture and what could be coming. A lot of this technology could be used for very nefarious purposes. I'm just going to throw this information out there for you to keep in mind, use your judgment, think what you will, but we need to be going into all scenarios with our eyes wide open and be willing to consider all potential outcomes. Anytime that we blindly trust anybody, especially in government, irregardless of what they state that their stance is, that doesn't necessarily mean that they don't have a hidden agenda, but more so in this case, that circumstances won't change down the line, or his technology could be stolen to be used for nefarious purposes. That could happen too. Everyone has free will. And while I will agree that God, for me, higher power or universe for you, does at times use certain people to obtain a specific end goal or end game, we also all have free will. And a person's free will can change at any time, as I'll discuss a little bit more in the second half of the show when we switch topics here. But whatever you believe as your higher power, I would hope that you would concur that free will changes everything. So a person could be on one path one day and a totally different path the next day. I got asked that sometimes when I do my intuitive guidance and my prayerful intuition for people is, well, were you wrong when you said this? Or did you get that wrong when you said that? No, and this isn't a cop-out. Situations change as people's free will changes, and that can alter the course of the path that they were on. And it can change the subsequent circumstances, or would change the subsequent circumstances as a result. I'm sure you've all seen the inauguration clip where Elon was looking up and left and right and seemed to be way far out in La La Land somewhere. Maybe he was on some kind of psychedelic drug. Maybe he was doing a form of inner meditation. Maybe that's just how he thinks when he thinks no one is watching him, or he isn't remembering that someone is watching him, like millions of people at the time. His behavior at best, though, was sort of bizarre. Actually, to me, it was reminiscent of a robotic technology or a clone or something like that. And maybe he's put the chip that he's wanted to develop in his own brain. Who knows? But it was a weird type of behavior. And there's a lot of speculation that's been surrounding that particular clip and others where he talks kind of funnily, looks off into the sky. And some of the things that he said have been a little bit strange, to say the least. So I wanted to broach this with you and just, like I said, throw it out there so you're aware. But this clip was posted on May 10th, and it's from AIRE Searches. The headline is, "Yesterday Elon Musk gave an electrifying talk about AI at the Milken Conference." Let's listen in.
I mean, AI might be the most important question of all. The percentage of intelligence that is biological, you know, grows smaller with each passing month. Eventually, the percentage of intelligence that is biological will be less than 1%. That's actually not what, I mean, we don't want AI that is brittle. If the AI is somehow brittle, you know, silicon circuit boards don't do well just out in the elements. So I think biological intelligence can serve as a backstop, as a buffer of intelligence. But almost all, almost all intelligence will be digital.
And that's just one of many clips. If you do your own research, you can find a lot of clips with Musk talking about his chip technology for the brain. And the transhumanist thing really bothers me because that's something that the WEF is and has been in favor of. They want to drastically reduce the human population, and they think that we as a human race have expired our time here and that we need to embrace transhumanism. Just the spiritual ramifications of that alone are astounding to me. And I hope that everybody is giving that some thought as times progress and AI progresses. On January 23rd, it was published. I'm not sure when the original article was published by U.S. News, but this was put out by United Humanists on the 23rd of January. An article, "Elon Musk's biographer warns the billionaire is going mad and could endanger us all, says he is deeply unwell." An Elon Musk biographer has sounded the alarm that the world's richest man may be losing his mind. The Harvard Law-educated biographer Seth Abramson speculated Monday that Musk might be going mad and is setting for all to see, brought on by his growing stress, history of mental illness, and self-described heavy drug use. "I legitimately believe Elon Musk may be going mad," he posted to X. "I'm a Musk biographer who has been tracking his online behavior for the last 2 years, and given that he's admitted to all of mental illness, heavy drug use, and crippling stress, it is now reasonable to fear he is deeply unwell." The biographer's informal warning, as he described it, or informed warning, sorry, as he described it, comes after Musk went on a posting frenzy about British politics that has ruffled more than a few feathers across the pond. A tracking website says that Musk has averaged 62 posts daily for the last week. It appears Musk's relentless posting and near-constant presence near Donald Trump may also be annoying some in the MAGA world, including its leader. It was reported shortly after the election that Musk had a massive blow-up with a Trump aide inside Mar-a-Lago regarding the leaking of Trump's cabinet picks. More recently, the New York Times journalist and Trump whisperer, Maggie Haberman, said on a podcast this weekend that Trump does complain a bit to people about how Musk is around a lot. Musk has reportedly been renting out the $2,000 per night Banyan cottage at Mar-a-Lago, from where he has been crashing the president-elect's dinners with tech billionaires and has also sat in on personnel meetings. I talked about that in an interview two or three weeks ago, where I had seen coming Trump and Musk butting heads behind the scenes and them having some disagreements. I wasn't shown the specifics, but they were arguing, and he gave a ton of money to Trump's campaign. He's in his cabinet, I guess you would call it now. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with all of this. Could this have been a hit piece? When I look at this, Harvard Law educated, that there to me it could be an indication that it was a hit piece, that it's fake news that's being brought out. But I'm not sure about the guy's history of mental disease, drug use, who's to say, but it kind of fits. Has he gone absolutely stark raving mad? I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there definitely are some character traits that he exhibits that are not quite normal. I've also had a theory, though, for a very long time that he's got some autism or autistic traits also. And there was an interview that I listened to a couple of weeks ago where he actually comes out and says that his son has autism or has been diagnosed with autism, something to that effect. So that could be all it is too. As excited as I am about the changes that he's making, and Trump as well, right out of the gate, I just would like for us to keep our minds open and don't trust fully in anybody. Question everything, in politics especially. Time goes so quickly when we're having fun, doesn't it? It's way past time for my break. If you need any help with your spiritual, physical, mental, or emotional needs, life coaching, spiritual guidance, whatever it is, let me help you. You can reach me at Maggie, M-A-G-G-I-E, _heart, at outlook.com. My introductory and exit music, and sometimes my break music, is by my good buddy Pat Carr. He's an amazing original artist from Louisiana originally. You can reach him at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. Please get a hold of him, buy his album, support his music, and tell him Maggie sent you. We are totally listener funded, so please support the network in any way possible. Check out the chat room in the main page. We'll be back right after this. are back. Thank you for joining me for the second half of the Positude Podcast. I'm your host, Maggie Hart. One more thing about Musk that just came out. This is from Reuters. U.S. judge temporarily blocks Musk's Doge from accessing payment systems. A federal judge early Saturday temporarily blocked billionaire Elon Musk's government efficiency team and Trump administration political appointees from accessing government systems used to process trillions of dollars in payments, citing a risk that sensitive information could be improperly disclosed. U.S. District Judge Paul Engelmeyer in Manhattan, of course it's got to be New York, issued the order after a coalition of 19 mostly Democratic-led U.S. states filed a lawsuit late Friday, arguing Musk's Department of Governmental Efficiency has no legal power to access the U.S. Department of Treasury systems. The lawsuit said Musk and his team could disrupt federal funding for health clinics, preschools, climate initiatives, and other programs, and that Republican President Donald Trump could use the information to further his political agenda. Doge's access to the system also poses huge cybersecurity risks that put vast amounts of funding for the states and their residents in peril, the state attorneys general said. They sought a temporary restraining order blocking Doge's access. The judge and appointee of Democratic former President Barack Obama said the state's claims were particularly strong and warranted him acting on the request for emergency relief pending a further hearing before another judge on February 14th. That is both because of the risk that the new policy presents of the disclosure of sensitive and confidential information and the heightened risk that the systems in question will be more vulnerable than before to hacking, Engelmeyer wrote. New York Attorney General Letitia James, a Democrat whose office is leading the case, welcomed the ruling, saying nobody was above the law and that Americans across the country had been horrified by the Doge team's unfettered access to their data. We knew the Trump administration's choice to give this access to unauthorized individuals was illegal, and this morning a federal court agreed, James said in a statement. Now Americans can trust that Musk, the world's richest man, and his friends will not have free rein over their personal information while our lawsuit proceeds. Engelmeyer's order bars access from being granted to Treasury Department payment and data systems by political appointees, special government employees, and government employees detailed from an agency outside the Treasury Department. The judge also directed that anyone prohibited under his order from accessing those systems to immediately destroy anything they copied or downloaded. The White House and Treasury Department did not immediately respond to requests for comments. Trump deputized Musk to lead Doge to identify fraud and waste in the government. Musk's efforts have alarmed Democrats and advocacy groups who say he is overstepping his authority by seeking to dismantle agencies responsible for critical government programs and fire federal workers en masse. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, a Trump appointee, said this week that the department's payment system will not be touched by Musk and that any decision to stop payments would be made by other agencies.
From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention?
So the liberal media is all over Musk about his 20-something staffing, but most of the people in politics, upper echelon, are 20-something, as was in the previous administration. How hypocritical. And I want to encourage you again to watch that Lindy Lee video because she talks openly about how Hunter Biden made himself present at a lot of meetings at the White House. He just waltzed right in and sat right down. Joe Biden was one of the ones running the country. Was she authorized to have access to any of that information? And an Obama-appointed judge. So obviously they don't want their dirty laundry and their ridiculous spending out there for the American people. They know the jig is up. So we'll have to, this is going to get interesting. Again, year of highs and lows, extreme highs, extreme lows, quick rapid fire changes going from one plateau to another. It's happening, folks. This is the year of narcissism, for real. The statistics are off the charts. Do your own research regarding narcissism as a trait, as a side trait to things like alcoholism, and just in general. There's a ton of YouTube videos out there for your listening enjoyment. However, keep in mind that a lot of them are slanted and put their own spin on it. So make sure that you shop around and become more well-rounded in your knowledge of this disease, because this is what we have in this country. The numbers are creeping up. It's amazing to me how many cases I deal with and people that I talk to that are struggling with people who have these traits and these disorders. My personal opinion is that part of that is due to whatever was in the vaccinations, but also with the rise of addictions and alcoholism. We have people that are exhibiting these traits, if not being fully diagnosed with this disorder. It's a very real thing.
Can we forget about the things I said when I was drunk?
I myself, out of utter and complete frustration, banging my head against the wall, have called people out. It's not happened a lot, but one of the golden rules when you're in my profession is don't call out their disorder and don't argue with them, because you have no way to win. They will never, ever be wrong. They'll admit their fallacies to a degree, maybe. And especially if it's in the case of a personal relationship, they will pretend to concede sometimes certain points, and they will apologize only to get you back on their feeding machine. These people feed off of your emotions and off of your energy, and they love to get a rise out of you, and they love to make you feel guilty, and they will not admit their mistakes readily. And when they do, however begrudgingly, it's usually at the point that they think they're going to lose you as a friend, as a coworker, as a partner. And they realize they're not going to be able to feed off of you anymore. So what they're going to do is they're going to come back, and they're going to, a common term that I've come to realize in the past couple of months, it's been thrown out there for many years, but it's become more prevalent again with the rise in narcissism, is love bombing. So what they'll do is they will totally spend a couple days or a weekend or an amount of time showering you with love and affection, praising you, talking you up, doing everything that you always wanted to do that they would never do with you maybe before, all of that in an attempt to get you back on the hook. And then once you're back on the hook, they start again with their emotional games, with their withdrawal, with their ignoring you to punish you. That is a common trait, too, that we see. All of these things, if you pay attention, that happen in our personal lives when we have relationships to these, are happening on a much wider scale in the governmental arena, because most of the people that are there, my assumption would be, have these traits or tendencies or have this disorder.
You say that I'm crazy. You say that you're sorry. Won't happen again. You say I'm dramatic, I'm overreacting, and maybe I am. And I know you'll get over me, but can you get over yourself before you go and love somebody else? You should probably get some help.
There are also some that will seek counseling or say they're seeking counseling, but they're really not being open and honest with the person that they're speaking with or people that they're speaking with, because they don't want to be shown in a totally negative light. And to keep those people on the hook, to make those people feel sorry for them, what they'll do is they'll give them little tidbits and bits and pieces and twist stories around so that they appear as though they're the victim. And they, you know, that's their game, is to try and get people to believe that they're really not a bad person. And then what they do is they manipulate those emotions and they do power struggles and control plays, and then the love bombing. We've also talked before about gaslighting. That's huge with this percentage of the population. You can clearly see this happening in mainstream media if you're paying attention, and in the governmental press releases, the people that are inciting these riots. Unfortunately, I have a lot of experience with this. I have to interact regularly with a person that's an alcoholic narcissist who speaks very rudely to me and negative to me and gives me ultimatums and comments and tries to control me and is extremely sarcastic in the whole conversational forum as a general rule. But you know what? My days with dealing with that person are numbered. I'm essentially riding it out in the interest of somebody that I care about and helping them get through a tough spot, and then I'm out. It's very important that we set boundaries in this type of situation, and sometimes, unfortunately, we're forced to be in these positions for a short period of time. But the main thing to keep in mind is as soon as you can get out of that type of relationship is going to be like 1,000 pounds is lifted off your shoulders. You're going to feel so much more lighthearted. I know that it takes a lot of nerve to be able to confront these people and set your boundaries. You can try being gentle at first, and professionals will tell you that there are ways to deal with narcissists that are less explosive. You can focus on the positive things that you see about their personalities and praise them when they've done something right. It's sort of like, and I hate to equate this, and it sounds kind of rude, but it's kind of like training a puppy. You have to be positive and gentle in your approach and encourage the good behavior and set boundaries for the bad behavior and also gently let them be aware of what they're doing wrong. But when it gets to the point where it's totally out of control and you've tried that for months, maybe even years, with no positive response, then eventually, ultimately, it has to come down to you laying it out in black and white so that they truly understand. And the professionals disagree on that. Some do that say, well, you know, that's only going to incite them. If you call them a narcissist, it's only going to inflame them. And then they're going to come at you harder or try harder to hurt you. Or then they're going to become extremely nasty. And in some severe cases, these people have the potential to become physically violent. So it could be detrimental to your well-being. So please take care of yourselves when you're handling these situations. But part of the problem that I see in the field in general is when I told you before to shop around and be careful because some people are slanted, we are on the liberal train and have been for a long time in regards to every aspect of our society, especially when it comes to mental health. And so while I can somewhat agree with the approach that we just spoke about, being gentle and promoting the positive, and that this is a beneficial way to help a narcissist potentially to heal, there are situations where I know just from working with these people for years and not buying into entirely the liberal mindset that you just sometimes get to that point where you need to call it out. You need to call a spade and you need to call it out. And you need to do that if the person just refuses to see no matter what you've done. They need that hit in the head. It may make them pissed off. It may make them violent. But if you have to monitor. Every situation is different. So if it comes to that point and you need to do that, typically they'll turn it around and say, no, you're the narcissist, or you're the one, and it's you, 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 you. And so I understand the approach where you can't argue with them, but if you set clear boundaries, you've tried to be gentle, you've tried everything in your toolbox to make them see, you've tried the positivity and nothing else works, then you know what? You're ending the relationship anyway, whether it be professional or personal. So say your piece, get it off your chest. It'll allow you to heal better. That's my take on it. And then move on. There is a small percentage of people that might break through to, as much as it incenses them, that will replay in their head. And there's a small percentage, a very tiny percentage of people that may grasp onto that and go, you know what? That might be what I am. I need to change. So there's hope. We have to keep this in mind on the political front as a whole too. Think about the scenarios that are being played out. These people are playing games with our minds. It's the same type of thing, just on a bigger scale. Please remember to take it all in, use your discernment, and not get lost in it, because we truly are not of this world. And when it comes to personal scenarios, gentleness, kindness, and love is always the route we want to take whenever possible, even though we are entitled to righteous indignation. And we have the right to protect ourselves. With Valentine's Day approaching, you might want to take the humorous alternative.
You have an ex that did you dirty? The Minnesota Zoo might be able to help you out. So by midnight on Valentine's Day, if you go to their website and you donate $15, they will name a bug after whoever you want. The zoo will then send that person a personalized e-card that explains to them that they had a bug named in their honor, and then they will feed that bug to their animals, turtles, chameleons. They also have some cute events if you're like in love or whatever, but this is creative.
There's a world outside every darkened door, where blues won't haunt you anymore, where the brave are free and lovers soar. Come ride with me to the distant shore. We won't hesitate to break down the garden gate. There's not much time left today.